This is the Motley Fool Radio Show with David Gardner. Dave Barry is a Pulitzer Prize-winning humor columnist with the Miami Herald. And he's the author of 25 books, including his new book, Dave Barry's Money Secrets. Like, why is there a giant eyeball on the dollar? Dave Barry, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Dave, why did you write the book?
Well, you know, there's a lot of books out there, financial advice and how to manage your money and how to get rich and so on. And I looked at those books and I found that there was one big problem with them, which is that I was getting none of the royalties. And I thought, it's time to do something about that. And so I wrote this book.
By the way, why is there a giant eyeball on the dollar?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Well, there are several theories. The most prominent is that the engraver was drunk. But I think in the current dollar, it's actually a national security thing. They have a little chip in there behind the eyeball, and it can see you. And it's transmitting images from your dollar back to a computer in Washington, D.C. So mostly what they're picking up is the insides of people's wallets, which isn't all that helpful. But if you do see an act of terrorism, hold your dollar up, eyeball side out, and that will help. Your government will thank you.
Dave Barry, you're very outspoken on the problem of financial illiteracy. You write that, and I quote, "Chances are that when it comes to your personal finances, you are, with all due respect, a complete moron. I do not mean that in a derogatory way. I mean it simply in the sense that when it comes to handling money," you write, "Dave, you are a stupid idiot," end quote. Put that in layman's terms for us.
Okay, I'll give you an example, a specific example. People generally do a very poor job of budgeting, handling their money. And let's say, I'm going to just take an example, a Susie Orman-style example. Let's say that every day on your way to work, you stop at Starbucks and you buy coffee. Let's say you buy a specialty coffee, $4, okay? $4 a day, you think that's nothing. You buy the $4 coffee every single day. Now, let's imagine for a moment that you don't. That instead of that, you save that $4 every day. What would happen? First of all, you'd get fired because you'd fall asleep at work for the lack of caffeine. But on the positive side, you would save $20 a week, which means after 2 weeks, you would have enough money to buy a half keg of beer.
Mm.
Think about it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the kind of long-term financial planning, sacrifice for the future. That's how you get ahead financially.
And Dave, you've also written that you can't trust anybody when it comes to my money. How much of that is a joke, and how much of that has been true for Dave Barry?
Well, I'll give you an example in my own personal life about the importance of not trusting people.
Mm-hmm.
I got an email from a gentleman in Nigeria who wanted to give me $43 million. It wasn't exactly clear how he picked me, but evidently he had the $43 million that he needed to get rid of. And my name came up, okay? So he sent me an email. And my friends told me, this is a scam. Why would a guy give you $43 million, okay? But I thought, well, what he wanted from me was $1,000because of legal. You know how when you give somebody $43 million, your guys are financial experts. You know, if you give somebody $43 million, evidently there are some costs involved.
It's a drop in the bucket.
So to me, like, okay, I'm giving him $1,000, but he's going to give me $43 million. So despite the warnings of my friends, I sent him $1,000. So come a couple days later, I get another email saying there's some kind of legal red tape over there in Nigeria getting the $43 million to me. He needs some more money. He needs another $5,000. My friends are saying, oh, come on. Now you really, I sent him the $5,000. I mean, it's, you know, okay, $1,500. Still $43 million. Sent him the $5,000. 2 days later, I received by UPS $43 million in cash, okay? Cardboard boxes of cash all over my house. I need a snow shovel just to get out of my bedroom because of all the money lying around. Why? Because I didn't trust my friends, and I believe the man in Nigeria. That's what I mean by don't trust people when it comes to your money.
You still needed to write a book.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever in history really actually responded to the Nigerian email scam? I mean, they don't seem to be as many of those anymore. It's sort of like
I think someone in history has done it.
Has actually
don't
gone.
Don't you think so?
Well, they sent so many of those emails out. Somebody maybe was responding to it. But I don't know. Seems kind of shaky to me.
And yet very lucrative. But Dave, let's talk stocks. How can our listeners make money in the stock market?
Well, that's a very good question especially for Motley Fool listeners. And I know there's been a lot of systems touted and a lot of surefire methods and so on. And I have one. It's three steps. And this is the real takeaway content of this particular interview. So
all right,
I suggest that everyone get a pen and a piece of paper because I'm going to give you the three steps. Surefire, can't miss, no way you can lose, three steps for making money in the stock market.
Get ready.
Step one, research the stock market for the past 25 years and find out which stocks have outperformed the market over those 25 years. Step two, get a time machine. Step three, go back in time and buy those stocks.
And
if you follow that system, you cannot lose money. You cannot. And I know what you're going to say. There's a flaw in that, Dave. I'm too lazy to do the research. Well, that's your problem, Mr. Motley Fool.
Let's move from Dave Barry, the faux financial author, to Dave Barry, the real guy. What was your experience, the real Dave Barry, what was your experience with money growing up?
We didn't have a lot. My dad was a Presbyterian minister, but he really was basically a social worker in New York City. And, I mean, we weren't poor, but we never, ever, ever had a new car. My dad had the worst judgment in the history of the world about what kind of car to buy, what kind of used car to buy. For example, we're the only people in the United States of America that I know of who ever owned a Hillman Minx, which is a Minx is like a ferret kind of animal. And that's kind of what kind of car this was. The safety feature of the Hillman Minx was it wouldn't start. It was one of the cars. You know, like when there's a movie, a horror movie, and the beautiful actress gets in the car and the bad guy's chasing her and she tries to start the car and the car goes, rrr, rrr. That part was always played by a Hillman Minx. They may dress it up as like a Chevrolet or something, but it was always because the Hollywood movie makers knew that was a car that could be counted on to not ever start. And my dad cut my hair, which was really how I became a humor writer, because my dad had these he bought these clippers at a drugstore, the kind with a little guard on it that cuts your hair down to about the length of the hair on a tennis ball, which was not a good look for me. There's really no good look for me, but that's a really bad look for me, the tennis ball look. And so I had to like be funny in school because I was a little kid with a tennis ball haircut, so that the larger, nice, better looking kids would not hold me upside down over the toilet all the time.
A signature question we do ask on this show, Dave, and I'd love to ask it of you, is that you consider and you reflect upon your smartest and your dumbest investments in life. It might be an investment of money or time. Who knows? Dave Barry, what has been your smartest investment looking back?
A guitar. When I started making money from writing, I got $600. I wrote an article. I got $600. And I really didn't have that much money then. But what I really, really wanted more than anything in the world was an electric guitar. And I went out and found a really nice Les Paul for $600. I don't know what it's worth now, but it's worth a lot more than that. But the main thing was, I really love that guitar. I played it all. The worst investment I ever made was a Chevrolet Vega.
What year was that?
1971. Okay. You'll never see a Vega driving around because they were made of compressed rust. if you lost your car, you know, like how people, like, they have these things, they press their keys and their car chirps in the parking lot. Vega owners, we didn't need that. We would just stop and listen and we'd hear clang. That would be a piece falling off of our Vega, which happened like every three to 4 minutes, and you could find it down. So like when the classic Vega owners meet now, they don't actually have cars. They have like plastic baggies full of rust that they bring in. Yeah, here's my Vega. So that was my biggest mistake. They don't qualify as investments probably, but
they resonate. Now, Dave, one topic avoided on other shows that this show will confront head on is your name. Your
hemorrhoids.
Your first name, Dave. Now, I also go by Dave, and there's a large and influential contingent of Daves out there, and this story's going unreported, I think. First of all, in what ways do you think the name Dave for you has conferred an unfair financial or romantic advantage over other guys who might be named Lance, say, or Mac?
Well, yes, you know, as a Dave, I mean, chicks dig a Dave. They go for a Dave. Like when women meet in the restroom, they go, I am looking for a Dave. A guy named, and who wouldn't? I mean, as we know. No, so I agree with you. I think that I mean, particularly, let's be honest, Lance is a very sad name. But Dave is a great name.
Awkward transition time. Dave Barry, do you invest in the stock market?
Not personally directly, but I do have a guy named Neil.
Not Lance.
His name is Neil.
Neil.
And Neil invests, I believe, in the stock market, of course. Mm-hmm. For all I know, it's all in Nigeria. I don't really know. I'm not one of those people who really can, you know, who follow. I know that's not the Motley Fool way, and I apologize.
Not at all. But you know what, Dave? It is very heartening to know that the author of Dave Barry's Money Secrets has some vague notion of where his money is and how it's invested.
Oh, yeah. Well, that probably reassures everybody quite a bit. Yeah, and in fact, Neil sends me reports regularly.
How'd you meet Neil, by the way?
Neil offered me 43. No. Neil, I have a friend named Bob.
Yeah, okay.
Who said, hey, I know this guy named Neil. That's really kind of how it worked out. Yeah.
Dave, I got to ask you, did Neil write this book?
No, Neil didn't have anything to do with writing the book, and probably is very upset that I'm even saying his first name on the air.
Have you gathered that Neil has a certain style or a panache as he invests?
Well, you know what?
I'm
just going to tell you, I like Neil. I'll tell you why. Because a couple of years ago, I was writing my column. I was writing books. I was crazy busy all the time, and I wanted to know if I could stop writing my column. And so I was looking for somebody who could, like, tell me, you know, figure out for me. And so I talked to this guy, Neil, and I liked him because he was funny, which is really how I judge everybody. which is maybe pathetic, but it's true. And he came over and like showed him all my financial records, which was pretty darn funny, because he'd say, like, well, what's that? And I go, I don't know. They sent me a statement, but I don't know what that is. Like, for all I know, I own a piece of Al Qaeda. I don't know, you know. So Neil, he went away and he would ask me more and more questions, and he does. And then he came back and he said, "Okay, Dave, you can stop writing your column."
Mm.
And in fact, he wrote this various scenarios and said, "Here's one: Dave is a slug," and he actually wrote it all out. Dave just sits around and drinks pina coladas and sits in the hammock. And then we did another one where instead of pina coladas, it was a less expensive drink. You know, that way we did the extrapolation.
Sounds like
Neil gave me the confidence to, you know, go ahead.
It sounds like when Neil talks, Dave Barry listens.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Dave, let's close with our buy, sell, or hold segment.
Good. Do I get to give advice here on the...
You absolutely do. This is our signature game, buy, sell, or hold. We're going to be presenting you with a person, a place, or a thing, not a stock. We're going to ask you, if it were, though, would you be buying, selling,
or holding?
Or holding. That's right. Fairly straightforward.
Okay.
So let's kick it off.
If it's Angelina Jolie, I'm holding. Just so I want to get that out right now.
Okay, well, that might have been on the list, so we've established that. Let's kick right from her to Google. This is not the stock. I'm talking just about the company or the internet site, the experience today. It's all the rage. Buy, sell, or hold.
I would buy. And I'll tell you why. Want to know why?
Always.
Because I am in a rock band of authors. We're not very good, but we're loud. And we played once in the Google cafeteria, and it's the best cafeteria I've ever seen in my life of any company in the world. And a company with a cafeteria that good, I want a piece of.
Were they paying you in stock?
No, if only. But I met the guys, you know, the Sergey and the other guy.
Yeah, Larry.
I'm sitting here talking to these guys, you know, and I'm thinking, hell, they're okay guys. They're not, you know, necessarily the swiftest birds in the barn, but they're nice. Then I realize, what, those are the guys? Those are the trillionaire guys? Those guys? I said, yeah. So I was very impressed by the cafeteria.
You mentioned playing in that writer rock band, and it reminds me, Dave, one of your famous... Well, shticks is just about the worst songs.
Oh, yeah. I wrote a book about the bands. Yeah.
Can you just remind us of one or two of what you think are the worst?
Well, what started that off, okay, first of all, in my opinion, the worst song ever written is Seasons in the Sun, which only of our older listeners even know what I'm talking about. But that and Honey, I Miss You, and I'm by Bobby Goldsboro.
Okay.
She wrecked the car, and she was sad and so afraid that I'd be mad, but what the heck? Though I pretended hard to be, guess you could say she saw through me and hugged my neck. And honey, I miss you. And I'm being good. We don't have any listeners left, do we? But anyway, so that was the bad song. But the winner of worst song, voted worst song of all time, was MacArthur Park. Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Oh, my golly.
But this was a while ago, you know, because I think a lot of songs since that time are much worse. I just don't know what they're called anymore because I'm old.
It's one of your favorite words. Next one up, buy, sell, or hold, the enduring appeal of the word booger.
Oh, that's a definite buy. I mean, or in my case, a hold, since I bought into booger decades ago. I was in booger, you know, way before when nobody really saw the value. I was in deep and in for the long run, and it's been very good to me.
Two more for you. Recent surveys have found that many people retire but then go back to work. It turns out they got bored and really just needed a break. So, Dave, buy, sell, or hold, the likelihood that Dave Barry will go back to writing a weekly column.
That's a sell. I'm insider trading on that.
Do you wish to elaborate in an additional sentence?
No,
or two?
No. Well,
sparkling.
I wrote that. It won't sparkle necessarily. No, I just I wrote that column for 30 years, and I just was, you know, I felt like I did it. Mm. I did it. I still liked it. It was still fun, and I just, it was time to stop. Mm. And Neil told me that I could, so I did.
Last one for you, Dave. This is something you've done, but I'm curious how you feel about it in hindsight. Buy, sell, or hold, picking one's kid up from school in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
That's a buy. There is no greater thrill in life than the thrill of seeing the horrified look on your pre-adolescent child's face when all the other moms are out there in their, you know, in their minivans picking up their kids, and then there's a giant hot dog with a loudspeaker going, "Rob Barry, please report to the Wienermobile." It may scar the child psychologically for life, but I'm just telling you, it's worth it.
The book is Dave Barry's Money Secrets. Dave Barry, thank you for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
I think we helped a lot of people today. It's my pleasure.